Okay. All right. We are in Heavenly Places, page 338, for today, November 27th. The Latter Rain. That's the title. And it says, it starts off, obviously, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, "And ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field." And if you've done a little bit of studies on prophetic symbolism, and this is one of the things that I've noticed too, when after I did that study years ago, you know, I'm going to check, because I keep forgetting. Just let me go there real quick, go to the prophecy section, go down to prophecy study tools and symbols of revelation. No, I didn't put it on here. Well, maybe I did. Nope, I guess I didn't. It's either 2.5 or 3.5 years it took me to do this study. And the reason I did it is because I know the Bible has a lot more prophetic statements in it than the normal one-third. Like, I think it's like 33% of the Bible is hardcore prophecy. Then you've got another 33, about another third, that's innuendo, prophetic innuendo. You know, like the word remember in the fourth commandment. And then you've got statements like Zechariah just made, but the word grass here. A lot of people don't realize what that actually means when it comes to people. It actually, you know, because you got trees, of course, are kings and whatnot, and rulers and stuff like that. And then you got grass of the field, and you got flowers, you know, lilies of the field. Okay, those are stronger Christians than just grass and stuff. But every grass in the field will get that latter rain. And so this is, you don't have to be a water walking Christian. You got to be a Christian that trusts and loves their Lord. So, but anyway, it goes on to say that our Heavenly Father claims not at our hands that which we cannot perform. He desires his people to labor earnestly to carry out his purpose for them. They are to pray for power, expect power, and receive power, that they may grow up into the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. And if I'd have heard this stuff 30 years ago, actually, then I would have been a little bit more, maybe I would have, you know, got a little bit more active in my own personal ministerial duties, if you will. I mean, you know, the Lord did ask me to manage what he called Presence of God ministry back then. At least that's what I understood it as. And it was spelled the way it is spelled today, because it's a gift. And, but I still felt like, and I still do, you know, that I'm not worthy. But back then it was like, man, I can't even put 2 and 2 together to come up with 4 when I'm looking in Scripture. I mean, I understood some of the prophetic stuff because I always was into prophecy when I was a kid. But boy, try to understand prophecy in the Catholic Church. You got to deal with Nostradamus. And then you got to deal with the Jesuits that'll write all these books and nobody agrees with each other. And so it was all very confusing. But praise God for the dreamlike stuff, you know, because when you look at the Scriptures and you see some of these prophetic symbols and these things that go on, like the book of Revelation, like it looks like, for some people, it would think like a scary dream. And, but it was just, you know, because I felt like all I could do was work for other men of God. And boy, did I get myself some education doing that, because on things what not to do kind of stuff, you know. And it was, but that's, you know, the school of hard knocks. It's the way the Lord would have me do it. And it worked out okay. But I didn't expect the power. I did not expect it because I thought, well, these guys are, well, they, you know, oops, sorry. They went to school. Let me fix the thing here. Okay. They went to school, and I figured, well, that's where you got to go. And I knew I was never going to be able to go to school because I didn't have 2 nickels rubbed together back then. And so I never went. And then I found out later that it would best not to go to school anyway because it was dangerous. They would ruin your faith, kind of like the Art Institute of Chicago. I remember one of them saying that if this person was to go to the Art Institute, it would destroy their talent because they're going to ask you to do things in their way, but you have a gift, kind of a thing. So do it your way. And but anyway, this not expecting power. If you're a babe in Christ, expect it. You know, it's just, it's a promise that is written by a God. So, you know, you can't think just because you haven't gone to school, you can't think because there's other men that are doing the work that you can't. No, you could do it too. You know, in fact, the Lord's going to use people that you'd least expect to go forth and proclaim it. Look at John the Baptist. I mean, the Lord had a whole, you know, he had the pick of the cream of the crop out of the Pharisees, you know, out of the Pharisees and out of the well, I don't think he would go anywhere near the other guys. What were those other guys' names? And the Sadducees. Yeah, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then, of course, the Sanhedrin. I think that was just the court. But they weren't walking away. I mean, there were guys in there like Nicodemus and stuff like that. And even Paul, well, Saul at the time, he had a zeal, but it was, boy, was it misdirected. And obviously Jesus corrected it on the road to Damascus, but... But look at John the Baptist, taught by the Holy Spirit, you know. But anyway, she goes on to say that not all members of the church are cultivating personal piety. Therefore, they do not understand their personal responsibility. They do not realize that it is their privilege and duty to reach the high standard of Christian perfection. Are we looking forward to the latter rain, confidently hoping for a better day? When the church shall be endued with power from on high and thus fitted for work? The latter rain will never refresh and invigorate the indolent who does not use the powers God has given him. You know, it's just like with that those two farmers years ago that I heard a story about. Can't remember where I heard it. And I shared it a little while ago, maybe a year ago, here in the chat room. Where they were in the midst of a drought, and they went to their minister or something like that in the area, and they both asked him for prayer and asked the church to pray, I think, if I remember all this correctly. But the bottom line is what I remember mostly is what actually went down. After the prayer was offered and all this other stuff, both farmers went home. One of the farmers went home and just sat back, turned on the TV or whatever they do back then. And the other guy went out and tilled the field, waiting on the rain, expecting the rain. You know, just running with what he had. And... A lot of people don't do that today. You know, they'll sit back and wait on the Lord to do something before they'll do it. You know, I'm guilty of that a lot of times too. Lord, if you do this, I'll do that, you know. No, just go ahead and do it. They'll take care of it. It'll definitely work out. And if it's not his will, you know, he'll close the door. He'll let you know. And by the way, a thought came to mind as I was reading this in regards to the latter rain itself. Those of us that used to mess around with the rock and roll world, like myself, before I was a Christian, and I still see it every now and then, like with the commercials, because, yeah, even now, I mean, like, this is very annoying, and I do have, you know, blockers and stuff like that in my browsers, but some browsers, it will not work. You know, like, I think it's Blue Moon or something like that. It's like a spinoff, or Pale Moon, it's a spinoff of Firefox and stuff. There's no blockers built for it. So every now and then you go to watch a video, you'll get a commercial, and you got to sit through for 5 seconds. Sometimes you got to sit through the whole thing if it's just on a generic website, but YouTube at least gives you that 5 second wait. You could click out. And you'll see, I remember one time ago, it was, they were doing some commercial about rain, or I don't know. There was some girl singing, and the screen was distorted. And she's singing like it's a new day or something like that. And it was raining. And I remember some of the rock songs back in the 70s that I used to, you know, listen to that talked about rain. And then you got Prince with his Purple Rain. And then, you know, they know. I mean, they obviously don't know. It's just I could see them being used by Satan in the same way I see the people waving the rainbow flag. They don't realize that they're, you know, they're just doing what he's telling them to do. And the same toss of the coin is a lot of Christians don't realize that, too, that when they do things, they don't even realize that God's using them. But that's okay. So that's a good part. with the people that are walking with Satan, sometimes they just don't realize it. And so that has to be said for a lot of the guys that are messing with rock and roll, where they throw these symbols and these statements in their songs. And I got to tell you, I mean, like, some of the music from the 70s, some of the words, like, especially when it came to Led Zeppelin, they had these weird mythological, like look at Stairway to Heaven. I mean, it's just the way it was written. And, you know, the guy that wrote it actually admitted he prayed to Satan before reading it or writing it, and then he gave it to him in 20 minutes. And so it's obviously inspired from hell. But it has the same type of way of talking, that like a prophetic parable or even scripture, because Satan comes, or he used to be part of that, you know, New Jerusalem. He used to live there. And so he kind of knows the language. And so he uses that. And it's very annoying, but at the same time, when you understand prophecy, and you can, like, say, like we just read from Zechariah chapter 10 there, you see the one word in their grass, and you know, because you've done the studies in the past, a whole mess of different definitions can come up in your mind unless you've done the studies. And so I believe Satan does this in the same way with this crazy music that he's got out there, because he is the angel of music. And a lot of the stuff they try to prophesy, you know. It's mostly agenda, of course, but Satan does know prophecy better than us. So that's why rock music is so extremely dangerous. You know, you got to be very, very careful, especially with the children, because, boy, it's like TV. It's very attractive. It's addicting, you know. But she goes on to say that we are in need of the pure, life-giving atmosphere that nurtures and invigorates the spiritual life. And so rock music is not one place you're going to find it, you know, any kind of... You know, secular music is not where you're going to find it. You know, because, again, Satan's the angel of music, and so you're not going to have that life-giving atmosphere there. She says, we need greater earnestness. The solemn message given us to give to the world is to be proclaimed with greater fervency, even with an intensity that will impress unbelievers, leading them to see that the Most High is working with us, that He is the source of our efficiency and strength. And sadly, a lot of people ain't going to get that until they're healed or something, or up against a wall. And this is why I believe when that latter rain falls, and when it falls more abundantly, we're going to see a lot more people coming into the truth, for the simple reason of what we see happening now with Obamacare. I mean, we knew that from day one. It was a setup. It was a setup to where it would destroy an awful lot of people's chances to have the insurance that they need, which they shouldn't have to bother with anyway. The American Medical Association is so corrupt that now you need hundreds of thousands of dollars if you get sick. That's just crazy. But they do that. It's like that one dentist told me. I says, why is it you guys charge $3,000 for a root canal? And he said, and it's honest. He told me, he says, because we can. Because you only got one set of teeth. And if you're going to ruin them, we could charge whatever we want. And that's what he said. I says, all right, pull it. Because I wasn't going to pay that. Well, root canals don't work with me anyway because my roots go sideways. But the thing is, it was just, it's like supply and demand. The other toss of the coin on that is because the fact that the insurance for the doctors is so sky high too. But that's going down because now they're allowed to give vaccines without testing. So they don't have to worry about getting sued a lot of times. But Obamacare is collapsing. There's tens of thousands of people losing their coverage, and they can't get it anywhere else because the other insurance companies, they're collapsing too because Obamacare is still in the market, causing some kind of a, you know, competitive market, if you will, that just can't work because Obamacare just won't work. And so people are finally going to cry out, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years after she spent all she had. Because the scriptures do say that. She spent all her living on trying to get healed, and then one day she figures, well, if I just touch his robe. And she was healed. You know? And that always got to me, even when I was a kid, when I saw those people crying in the hallways, when the doctor would come out and say, all we could do is pray, because they never prayed. So you're, oh, if you're saying all we could do is pray, that means he's going to die, or she's going to die. So they all just collapse in tears. He says, where's your faith? You know, praying is where you should have done first. Like when I get sick, if something crazy is happening, yeah, it's the first thing I'm doing. I'm going to the Father on this one. I'll go to the doctor later if the Lord doesn't answer my prayer. She goes on to say that God has given us talents to be used in the upbuilding of His kingdom. Do we ask ourselves the question, how am I using the talents my Lord has given me? Have you given to God only a feeble, diseased service? I like the way she puts that, too, because the health message, that's the right arm of the gospel, right? I mean, if you can't, I mean, one of the reasons you can understand the scriptures better, you know, for the majority of us in here, because the majority of us have been around for a while in this truth, But for those of you that are new to the truth, a lot of times you can have a little, you know, sometimes a little bit of a difficulty understanding what it is we're getting at or how we understand this and why we understand that and how come the Lord gives us that information is because we don't have a diseased mind. And it's not necessarily a diseased mind where you're going to end up dying at the end of it. Well, yeah, well, eventually it will kill you because diet will kill you. But when you get off the diet, like say if you're in America, if you get off the American diet, if you will, well, where alcohol is actually part of the food group, I kid you not, I actually got a little graphic that I put on the website of a card that I found, trivia card in Christ Hospital, that's what they called it in Oak Lawn, where one of our maybe many babies were born, and it actually said, it was a trivia question, what are the five food groups, or what are the food groups, and one of the answers was alcohol, and this is in a hospital. And so if you go by with what the government suggests is the right way to eat, you're going to be dead before your time. But if you eat that which the scripture says you should eat, you're going to live beyond Americans' average. And they've even proven that too. Yeah, with they found that vegans, or vegans, however you want to say it, were actually found to live a lot longer than anybody else. Vegan, I guess. I'll stick with that then, yeah, because that sounds better anyway. So, but, and if the body's diseased, well, it depends on the disease, of course, too, but a lot of times when you eat something, well, take, for example, meat, especially meat that's got the blood in it. And I remember reading a study about this even before I was a Sabbath keeper. I was a Christian, and this is one of the reasons I got off meat, because they found that humans are supposed to think using the two lobes of their brain. Then you've got the frontal lobe. You know, you got the frontal lobe, and you got the two lobes in the back. That's where we're supposed to have this, you know, our sexual thoughts, our appetite, and our emotional thoughts are supposed to be based in the big lobes, the ones in the back. But when you eat diet, when your diet is of things that are not healthy, the thought process, for some strange reason, we'll find out when we get home, but the thought process has a tendency to lurch forward into the frontal lobe, which is where quick decisions are made, you know, or snap decisions, and where a lot of the, the adrenaline rush is based on, the machine for it, if you will. I don't know. At least that's the best way I can explain it. So they found, because most people eat bloody meat, or pork, shellfish, or bottom-feeding fish like catfish or whatever, their thought processes have been pushed forward, and that's why people are oversexed. Their appetites, they're getting overweight, and they're very emotional. You know, they'll like we used to say with me, I got a very short wick, you know, in a split second. I mean, you just light the match and I'm going. And, the oversex thing too. And then the appetite is all right there in the frontal lobe. And this is why, you know, and then when you go back to the Edenic diet, if you will, everything seems to calm down. And so, yeah, your diet does affect your mind. And so if you're eating things you shouldn't have and putting them in your body, it's going to affect the brain, because the brain is an organ just like any other organ. And that's what she's getting at here when she talks about a diseased service. So going on, she says, are you using all your powers in an effort to bring the lost sheep back to the fold? There are thousands upon thousands in ignorance who might be warned. Pray as you have never prayed before for the power of Christ. Pray for the inspiration of His Spirit, that you may be filled with a desire to save those who are perishing. Let the prayer ascend to heaven. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. Hope and pray you were blessed.